Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Peyton Doyle Show. I'm Peyton Doyle, host of the Peyton Doyle Show. I hope you all are having a wonderful day today. And today, I have a friend of the show joining me, Ethan, host of E on the Mic podcast. I've actually been on his show twice, and now I'm finally bringing him on the show. How have you been doing lately, E?
Man, he finally got me on this damn show. Finally. Finally, after I bring him on two times, now I can finally go on his show, man. Man, it's pretty good, man. I really do appreciate you making me come on this show, man. I really do appreciate it, and I hope it'll be a great one today.
Yes, sir. I know it will be. Let's get right into it, man. The Detroit Lions and quarterback Matthew Stafford have reportedly mutually decided to part ways this offseason. Obviously, this is huge because it adds to a long list of quarterbacks who could potentially be available this offseason. Matthew Stafford is obviously one of the most talented, and he's an extremely talented quarterback who can still help a team win games. So my question to you is, who do you think will ultimately end up with Matthew Stafford?
Man, I look at Denver in that situation. I know there's a lot of Denver connections with Matthew Stafford. They've been loving Matthew Stafford since the rumors trade for Matthew Stafford once he was going to leave Detroit, which finally he's leaving Detroit. It's still questions in the air with Matthew Stafford at the age of 33. And he still has injuries. It's not like he's healthy, so it's going to be very interesting. But, you know, Denver is a team that has wide receivers. They have the running game on lock with Melvin Gordon. So that's going to be very key for them. And you know how John Elway wants to get another Super Bowl, although he did step down general manager. But I think it's more ideal for Denver. I don't understand. I hear the Patriots talk with Matthew Stafford, and then you hear about Dallas for some odd reason, which I understand that because maybe you want to get something cheaper than Dak Prescott than the offseason. But for me, I think Matthew Stafford would be much better off in Denver than, let's say, for the Dallas Cowboys or for the Patriots. But then again, he could go to the Colts as well. The Colts have Phillip Rivers retiring, and they have a team right there. So that could be a possible thing. But it's going to come down between those two teams because I think the Colts or Denver, but I think the Colts are much prepared for to go along in the playoffs. They just made the playoffs this year with Phillip Rivers, so you just never know. But it's going to come down to those two teams, Colts and Broncos, but more lean to Colts.
I don't have the Broncos, but I have three spots that I see Matthew Stafford in. My number one is the San Francisco 49ers. If you put Matthew Stafford on the 49ers, I think he'd ball out. You have George Kittle, you have Debo Samuel, and Raheem Mostert, who, by the way, would be the best running back that he's ever played with. And then you still have a solid defense. I know they lost their defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh. That's obviously going to hurt the defense, but still have guys like Nick Bosa coming back and a bunch of other guys that have, you know, gotten injured that are going to be healthy next year, presumably. So that still should be a solid defense. And Kyle Shanahan, who still seems like a solid coach, but they don't seem very sold on Jimmy Garoppolo there. So I think they could end up trading for a guy like Matthew Stafford. And I think it would help that team out a lot. Next up, I have, like you said, the Indianapolis Colts. They have the solid offensive line. I know their left tackle retired this offseason, but the offensive line should still be good regardless. And that running game and defense could really be helped by even just solid to above average quarterback play. I mean, Phillip Rivers, it looked like he wasn't making throws because he knew he couldn't make them last year. He knew he was done. And it looked sad because he really used to be a great quarterback, but he just wasn't that last year. But now my third team, then I know this is an outside chance and nobody's really been talking about it, but I can see the Washington football team getting Matthew Stafford. This is a team with an amazing defense, Terry McLaurin, who's a great young wide receiver, and Antonio Gibson, who had a great rookie year at running back. Getting Matthew Stafford with this defense would help a lot. I mean, you look at them, they won the division last year. Now, it was at 7-9, but they had a good record with Alex Smith as their starter, and all Alex Smith was supposed to do was just not turn the ball over. That's all he did was just not turn the ball over, and they found ways to win games. Matthew Stafford is a guy with enough talent that can actually make plays rather than stay away from the bad plays. He can make great plays on the offensive side of the ball. I think they could contend with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys to win that division with Matthew Stafford at the helm. So those are my three best landing spots for Matthew Stafford. But now let's look at just the Lions. No Matthew Stafford, so they don't have a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they trade for a quarterback, sign one in free agency, or do they try to draft one at 7th overall where they're at? Who do you think will be the next quarterback for the Detroit Lions?
Man, this is tough because for Detroit, you just don't know. You just don't know what Detroit will do. This offseason is going to be very odd, and you just never know. So many quarterbacks out there. They could trade Watson and Stafford because how the Houston Texans are disgruntled right now, and Watson will go to Detroit, which I know Watson may not want to go to Detroit, but I think for the quarterback situation for the Lions to say, I think they might just draft somebody and possibly could take Justin Fields in the draft, possibly because of what I've been hearing, the Jets may trade away their picks or you already can slid down from that game against Alabama. So that could be very interesting in point to take. I just don't know where exactly we'll get, but they'll either get it from the draft or trade. It's going to come between one of those two things. It's either going to be Deshaun Watson or Justin Fields in the draft. I really feel that for Detroit. I just don't see any other quarterback. Watch it be Nick Foles, of all people, be going to the Lions. But they're promising, though. They just got Anthony Lynn, an offensive coordinator, and they have Dan Campbell, the head coach. So those are two great guys right there. Anthony Lynn is much better as an offensive coordinator and a coach. Like, no, not to be like defensive and all that, but like Anthony Lynn's a great offensive coach. I want him at the Dolphins, legit. So they're promising there, and they have weapons. They still got weapons. They got DeAndre Swift, an aging Adrian Peterson, which I don't think he's going to come back next season. But I think they can build up in Detroit and contend possibly. But that's what I feel with the quarterback situation for the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions are a real interesting team to me. Before the season started, I thought they were going to go 9-7. I thought they were going to have a winning record. I liked their chances. I liked DeAndre Swift coming out of Georgia. I loved that pick. And he came alive in the second half of the season there once he finally got the start over Adrian Peterson. Kenny Galladay is still there. Marvin Jones is still there. Now that defense is Swiss cheese. That's the biggest problem with that team now. They got holes everywhere on that defense. But like you said, they did bring in a nice solid coaching staff. We'll see how Dan Campbell does. I mean, he came in talking about people's biting off people's kneecaps and stuff like that. I mean, we'll see how that plays out. You know, I mean, we all like it. It's like, wow, a great football guy, but
he's always a humble guy coach. That's always how he was. That's what he was as an interim head coach for the Dolphins. That's how he was. That's why the players love him.
Yeah, he's a player's coach. He was loved in New Orleans, but we'll see how that translates to being the head coach of a team because it's very different. We see guys who are great coordinators. They get guys fired up. We saw Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens was a player's coach when he was the interim offensive coordinator, got the head coach job. And, I mean, we all know what happened there. I mean, he was awful. Baker Mayfield had the worst season of his career. It was terrible. But as far as the quarterback position goes, I have a feeling that the Lions are going to look for a quarterback in the draft. Now, I think that the Jets still like Sam Darnold as their quarterback. I think if that's true, I could see them using the draft picks that they already have plus the draft picks that they acquire in the Matthew Stafford trade and using that to trade up to 2nd overall to draft Justin Fields and make Justin Fields a Detroit Lion. I really can see this happening because currently sitting at the 7th overall pick, Justin Fields or Zach Wilson won't be on the board by then probably. And this is a draft where obviously there's guys like Mac Jones and Trey Lance, or even if in the later rounds, Kyle Trask. There's plenty of quarterback talent, but there's really three top guys that the scouts are talking about and looking at, and that's Trevor Lawrence, who is not falling past number one if the Jacksonville Jaguars have a brain. And then there is Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. And there's a little bit of a debate going on whether or not it's going to be Zach Wilson at 2 or Justin Fields as a 2nd quarterback taken. I think it will ultimately end up being Justin Fields, and I think the Lions are going to make a big splash and trade up with the Jets to get the 2nd overall pick and draft Justin Fields at 2nd overall.
That could be very interesting. I could see that happening. But I don't know. It just depends on what the Jets receive and all that. I don't know. Because, you know, we'll try to get a quarterback some way, somehow, try to get rid of Sam Darnold. I don't know. I don't know how true it is they're going to keep Sam Darnold. But I give like maybe 20% chance to keep Sam Darnold, but the way the Jets look, they just want another quarterback. But I don't think it's going to come from the draft. I think maybe from a trade from Watson, maybe.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that'd be big. Who knows? That would be big. So just on kind of the Jets, though, do you think that if they aren't able to get Watson, that they should draft a quarterback or stick with Sam Darnold and try to develop him?
I think just kind of stick with Sam Darnold. I think just build around Sam Darnold. Remember, you just played with Adam Gase and then Todd Bowles as their head coaches. Now they have a head coach that can actually – Robert Saleh, which can help Sam Darnold out a little bit. I know he's a defensive coordinator coach, but it can finally – build the offensive line for him to protect him because he's been getting killed all over the place. Like last season, he was out for a couple of games when I think it was like a shoulder injury or something like that. And they had to bring in Joe Flacco, which Joe Flacco is not the same quarterback as he was with Baltimore, as you can tell. But at the same time, you just got to build with Sam Darnold and just build up with him. But if Watson's in that mixture, you definitely go with Watson. No question about it. You can send Sam Darnold to Texans. The Texans organization is a joke. So you kind of just throw him in there, which I feel bad for the head coach that they just hired, David Culley, which he's been waiting for a long time. He's 65 years old, but at the same time, you're in the situation where you want your quarterback is going to get out there. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But speaking of Deshaun Watson, I have a feeling that none of this happens until Deshaun Watson gets traded. The whole league, I feel like, is waiting for this to happen. They're waiting to see where Deshaun Watson goes before other teams make their move. Because obviously any team that's looking for a quarterback, Deshaun Watson has to be the number one trade target on their list, right? Like their wish list, right? I think Deshaun Watson is going to be the first big domino to fall in the quarterback carousel this year that'll kind of get things started. I think we're all waiting until that happens. This morning, Adam Schefter broke the news. Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade from the Houston Texans. Ethan, where do you think is the best fit for Deshaun Watson?
I got two teams right now. It's not going to be my Dolphins. I can tell you that much. As much as everyone's been saying about Dolphins, I don't know. It's still, I can understand the good side of it and the bad side of it, but I'm not going to explain that. I know you're probably going to have something with the Dolphins in there, but let me say my take real quick. I think the Jets could be nice because they're going to have like I said before, they're building a culture here. It's kind of like switching the switch with them since Adam Gase is gone now. Yes, you're going to lose some draft picks and stuff like that, but you're getting a nice quarterback and you can build with them with free agency coming this year. Now, the second one I got, which is probably an unpopular opinion, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's think about it. Jacksonville Jaguars have the number one pick. Let's say Jacksonville Jaguars pick Trevor Lawrence, and then that trade can happen where they swap Deshaun Watson to Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence go to Houston, and both sides legit win on both sides because you got a young quarterback that will play with you, and then you have a Deshaun Watson that can really help build your team up to become a great, like how the Jacksonville Jaguars were in 2017, which will kind of bring them lights up for Jacksonville if you really think about it. So those are the two teams I really see Watson can go to. I think more legitimate will be the Jets. The Jacksonville Jaguar will be a dream for the draft people to talk about, especially when it's near close to the draft. But if Watson's still with Houston Texans by that point.
Yeah. I mean, that would be insane if he got traded to Jacksonville. And I don't think they do that because Jacksonville is in the same division, though. You don't want to do that in the same division.
True, but you're giving back a nice quarterback from Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. So you're kind of like swapping good players at the same time. But I think Watson still could be the better player than Lawrence, in my opinion. I think Watson could be the better player.
Plus Watson's like entering his prime now. And like he's finally finding his stride, led the league in passing yards last year, despite not having any really great receivers on his squad.
Especially you got Urban Meyer at the head coach for Jacksonville Jaguars. So you never know. Urban Meyer has been successful everywhere he's gone to, Bowling Green, Utah, Ohio State, Florida. So if he can be successful in the NFL and bring Watson in there, that'll be legitimately the story of a great head coach all time.
There. Oh, yeah, 100%. Now, I know this is going to upset you, my man. I know this is going to upset you. But I have to stand by what I said a few times now throughout the past few weeks since these Deshaun Watson rumors have surfaced. the Miami Dolphins are the best potential spot for Deshaun Watson to go. He'll be in a great culture under an improving team with a great head coach and a great defense. And the Dolphins have the most draft capital to give up for him, and they probably will be able to throw in Tua, who is still has the potential to be a good quarterback. Now, I don't think he'll ever be as good as Deshaun Watson, but I think Tua obviously still has potential to become a great quarterback. So you'll be giving them a lot of draft picks and Tua. The best trade that the Texans can get, I think, is going to come from the Miami Dolphins. I think they have the most to give up for him. And if they want him, I think they'll get him. In my opinion, if what Chris Mortensen reported a few weeks ago is true about Deshaun Watson being willing to waive his no trade clause to come to Miami, the Dolphins have to go get him. If Deshaun Watson wants to be a Dolphin, you make him a Dolphin. And that's nothing against Tua. I just think that's truly how great Deshaun Watson is. I think he's a top three quarterback in this league. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no question about it. Like, he's a top three passer in the league. I just don't know how much to give up, because you're giving up pretty it's kind of like the draft day movie, honestly. It's like, all right, they trade us their picks. Now we're going to give them back their picks. Like, I don't know. I still wouldn't even do the trade. And especially, but I know the Houston Texans are not even interested in Tua. What reports said about a couple of days ago, I remember seeing something about Houston not really interested in Tua in there. They probably want more Xavier Howard to build on their defense, which I still don't would agree with that at all.
Yeah, like, I don't think you give up Xavier Howard. That's no. Too much. Yeah,
but you know how Houston will try to get something out of it, you know, mm-hmm. like with a player. But I don't know. I just wouldn't want to do that, especially in our offense. Like, our offense has a solid O-line, needs a little work there. But with wide receiver help needed and running back, we have Myles Gaston as a starting running back. We definitely need somebody other than Myles Gaston at the running back position as a starter. And then the wide receiver, all you got is Parker, if he's healthy, because Parker gets hurt all most of the time. And then once he gets hurt once, he's out for like two games. It's like, where's this man gone to?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love Smith. And then you got Preston Williams, who's now injured prone now, which you never really see him on the field anymore.
Yeah.
You got Jakeem Grant, who's our third starting wide receiver. He's a great player, no question about it. I think his height just plays a factor in this role, unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, because you got to throw in a certain type of throw to him. And then you have players that you probably haven't even heard of before, like Malcolm Perry. You've never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. And then until like week 16, that's our starting wide receiver. And then Lynn Bowden Jr. from Kentucky that I praised like last year in the draft, but no one knew who the heck he was. And Antonio Callaway, you probably are familiar with that guy.
I am.
Yeah, and we cut him early in the season. So, like, it wasn't really a match there. We didn't have help. We have tight ends, but we just don't got the wide receivers nor the running back. I feel like those two pieces are missing for Miami. I think some point in time, Parker may leave Miami. We might go part ways with Parker pretty soon. I don't know how soon, but in the future-wise, I don't know if Parker is a true number one right now. Like, I love Parker, but he's proved to be true number one, but injuries is the problem for me.
Yeah.
But so I still wouldn't do the trade with Watson.
Yeah, you think that you'd just be giving up too much.
Yeah, and then you got a rookie quarterback. I wouldn't ditch the rookie quarterback. I understand, like, trust me, if Watson was a free agent, yeah, you sign him. That's no question about it. And you just let go. You probably trade Tua somewhere else. That's no question about it. But you got to give up a lot for Watson to or get prize just to see, like, another Houston situation on the offensive side. Of course, the defensive side is great, but you don't have any weapons for Watson besides Gesicki and the tight end room and maybe Parker if he's healthy. Other than that, well, besides Myles Gaston, who's great at catching the ball on third downs, passing catcher. But other than that, you just don't got much for Watson to play with unless you make a huge splash in the offseason for wide receiver, which is going to be tough, especially with his contract. So that's going to be very interesting. So that's just me for Watson from Miami. I think he'd be much better, like I said, with the Jets more. Although it's in my division, I wanted him somewhere else. Maybe the Colts. Go to the Colts, maybe. But I don't know. I still highly doubt that any divisional rival will want to give away their best quarterback to them. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of the Dolphins, obviously, you're a huge Dolphins fan. Let's say that the Dolphins, they don't trade for Deshaun Watson, right? They don't trade for Deshaun Watson. They keep Tua, and they still have the third overall pick. Who do you think they will take with a third overall pick in this year's draft?
I think you just go with wide receiver. Like I mentioned, I think Devontae Smith, with him and Tua, they have great connection in college. Just remember, kind of rewind a little bit, where Tua did throw the game-winning pass to Devontae Smith and the freshman in that college football playoffs finale to win the championship game against Georgia in overtime. Let's remember this. So they have great connections to each other. And Devontae Smith has shown why he is the Heisman winner. That last game before the last game of his career in Alabama, 215 yards in the first half. I understand he's skinny, but that dude has strength. Just because he's short, he's skinny, he's not short, but he's skinny though. But he got strength, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That man got strength. He got speed too. So that's gonna be very deadly in the NFL. Yes, he's not like a Julio Jones, or because they're from Alabama products, and then you think of DK Metcalf. There you go. DK Metcalf, like DK Metcalf size, mm-hmm. You know. But you just got to love that speed with Devontae Smith, and especially since now Miami is looking, evaluating him during the Senior Bowl, since they are able to coach him in the Senior Bowl this year. So that's giving some insight if they should draft him and the wide receiver. I think then the second pick, I'll go on O-line. But to me, I think for the third overall pick, we should go with Devontae Smith. I know it's high, but I think Devontae Smith will be a great connection for us.
Okay. Yeah, I know Devontae Smith is great, and obviously his route running is tremendous as well. But I think they'll end up taking Penei Sewell if he's on the board. If Penei Sewell's not on the board, we could be looking at Devontae Smith in Miami, which would be very exciting, but very risky at the same time. He's obviously a talented and great player, but third overall, and you would agree, is extremely high for a receiver. So many things need to go right in a play for a receiver to be needed. The offensive line needs to block. The quarterback needs to stay upright for the receiver to get open. They need to buy enough time. And then the quarterback also needs to deliver a good throw to the receiver as well. And he needs to be open. So obviously I think that's very high for a receiver there at third overall. But if Penei Sewell falls to number three, like if I think that a quarterback is going to be taken by either the Jets or a team that trades up to number two, and Penei Sewell is on the board at third overall, I think that they draft him. I think that's the best case scenario for the Miami Dolphins. I know it's not the big splash that I'm sure a lot of Miami fans would love, but it's safe. First round linemen in the NFL generally always turn out to be, you know, good, solid players in the league. And the later rounds are, you know, they're so-so. Sometimes they turn out good. Sometimes they end up on your practice squad forever. You know what I mean? But I think that you could also still find quality receivers in the later rounds, in my opinion. And I know last year it was a historic receiver class, but there's still some solid receivers in this one. But you see guys that you didn't hear of, like Chase Claypool getting drafted in the later rounds, and he turned out to be a great rookie. There's tons of receivers like that every single year. So I think that the Dolphins can get fix their offensive line problems by getting a really great offensive lineman at third overall. And then maybe they're passing on Devontae Smith, who's obviously great, but you could still get another solid receiver to help that receiver group in the later rounds, in my opinion. What do you think of that?
I mean, I wouldn't draft an offensive line that high to me, knowing the history of Miami with their drafting offensive line, for example, Jake Long, for example. Yes, he was a great Pro Bowler, but he didn't last very long for Miami. Like, he wasn't like 10 years for us. So that kind of gives me like deja vu again with the offensive line, top five, the first overall pick, and we picked Jake Long as our first overall pick. So that gives me deja vu. And I just feel, I don't know, like I understand where you're coming from with the defensive line, especially our offensive line. We had like three rookies as our starters for crying out loud, but they played pretty good for rookies, you know? And then we had like two regular veterans in there. So that's a key point, which I understand your point there. But at the same time, I still need somebody to match up with Parker as well, because again, injury prone, hype problems, and then players that don't really play as well as they should, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Smith is the right key. I understand like separate. I think Devontae Smith has separation. It's going to be different, of course, from college and NFL, of course, but I think he can adapt. It's going to be like how Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, they're from Alabama wide receiver squad. So
Yeah.
That's going to be the most very interesting thing to see for them. And Calvin Ridley. So Calvin Ridley is also from Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be very interesting for Devontae Smith. I think Devontae Smith, personally for me, I would love him in Miami. I think that's the match in heaven for Tua. Because he'll help Tua, help him become a better player. Because he knows Devontae Smith. They play with each other. Mm-hmm. So they can hire and they can practice with each other. And now, once again, with Tua, he's rehabbing. He was rehabbing last year. Now he can finally train this year. And they can prove everyone that why Miami chose him at number 5 last year.
I agree. I think that Devontae Smith would help Tua out a lot. But I also think a good O-line would too. But obviously, you need guys who can get separation. And you're right. The wide receivers in Miami are not great. And they underperform. And they're always injured as well. So either way, I feel like it's a good pick either way. Like if they went and they took the Devontae Smith, I wouldn't be like, wow, that's an awful pick. Just me personally, I think football is won in the trenches. And I think that if you have a great offensive lineman on the board like Penei Sewell, you should take him, in my opinion. But I get what you're saying with Devontae Smith, though. And I wouldn't be shocked if they did it either. You know what I mean? Now, before we go, this is our final segment. I have to ask you about the big game, Super Bowl 55. It's going to be between the ageless Tom Brady, who is playing in his 10th Super Bowl, which is more than double the appearances of any other quarterback in the history of the league. He's looking for a 7th ring, which is absolutely insane. And Patrick Mahomes, who is looking to win back-to-back Super Bowls and have, you know, 2 Super Bowl championships at the age of 25. It's going to be the GOAT versus the baby GOAT. Who do you have in this one?
I got to go with the baby GOAT. I think the baby GOAT is going to go back-to-back in the Super Bowl this year, back-to-back wins in the Super Bowl. I understand, don't underestimate Tom Brady. I've been underestimating like throughout the playoffs, and I've been always wrong with it. I said it a long time ago. But Tom Brady is the GOAT, so it's going to be a great matchup, no question about it. And I know I understand it's home, quote-unquote home field turf, but it's not really home field turf when you're having a lot of people coming from other states, other fan bases coming in there. So it's not really a home base. You're just familiarized with the stadium. You just feel like it's home. But at the same time, I think the Chiefs, they played against each other, and it's going to be tough to stop Hill and Kelsey for the Bucks. That's their main goal, and both of them teams knows do not turn over the balls. If not, they're going to capitalize on you, no questions about it, the Chiefs or the Buccaneers. You see with Tom Brady, 2 games with the Saints and the Packers, you saw they capitalized, and they really hurt the Packers and the Saints in those in those 2 games. You can see that. That's the key point. Do not give turnovers. Do not give Tom Brady the chances of a lifetime to score points. They will capitalize on it. Rarely he will not kick a field goal when you do turnovers unless you have a great defense. But at the same time, I love the Chiefs here. I'm still going to stick with my pick that I said for the matchups, which I had Green Bay and Chiefs, but in that game with 3 points. But it's going to come down to 3 points once again. And I think it's going to be 30-27 instead of 27-24.
I could see it being a close one as well. I have the Chiefs as well in this one. I know, obviously, like you said, the Buccaneers, they capitalize off of turnovers. They really do. I mean, we saw them. That's how they beat Green Bay. And like you said, that's how they beat New Orleans as well. When the other team turns the ball over, Tampa Bay normally goes and scores a touchdown, which is huge. You have to capitalize off of turnovers. And the Chiefs rarely ever turn the ball over. So that's, you know, that's something that's not going to be going for the Bucs. But I say that this comes down to the brilliance of Andy Reid. I love Bruce Arians, but he's not Andy Reid. He is not near the level of Andy Reid is. Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame coach, no doubt about it, in my opinion. Both teams have solid defenses, great quarterbacks, and great weapons on both sides of the ball. But where the Chiefs outmatch the Bucs is coaching and also playoff experience. Other than Tom Brady, the Bucs don't have much playoff experience at all. The Chiefs basically are the exact same team that went to the Super Bowl last year and won. So they've been there before. I see this being a highly intense game that hopefully it goes down to the wire. There's nothing worse than like waiting all year for the Super Bowl. And it's like the Denver and Seattle Super Bowl a few years ago where it's just a blowout from like the first quarter.
Or the Patriots and the Rams where it's a mostly defensive game.
Yeah, or something like that. You know what I mean? But I hope it's a good game, but I think it will be. I think it'll be a good game. Oh, yeah. I think it'll probably be, I'll say 34-28 Chiefs, in my opinion. I think the Chiefs win by 6, and I think it's going to be a great game, though. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, and I think Mahomes and Kansas City are going to come out on top once again, and Mahomes is going to have an MVP, two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl championships at the age of 25, and also an incoming $500 million contract.
Which, and especially going 3-2 over Tom Brady, you know how much of your legacy can continue with that. To say once Tom Brady retires and then you still play in the league and you just be MVP caliber, maybe you're going to be passing Tom Brady. This is too early, though, but, you know, Mahomes had that resume saying, I beat Tom Brady 3 out of 5. So that can help his case a lot, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Everyone saying Tom Brady is the GOAT. As of right now, going to 10 Super Bowls and winning 7 out of 3. Mm-hmm. Well, six out right now. But could be possibly 7. So that's a crazy scenario. One of the crazy – before, I know you're almost about to end the show, but a crazy scenario is Tom Brady is more likely to go to the Super Bowl than Steph Curry making a 3. That's the most crazy. That's how crazy it is. Yeah. That's how crazy it is.
I know. He is something else. Undeniably the greatest quarterback of all time right now, I feel like. Regardless if he wins in February, 7th or not in the Super Bowl. Whether or not he wins that game or not, going to 10 Super Bowls, winning 6, obviously you're the greatest quarterback of all time. And now there's no Belichick excuse. He's not doing it in New England anymore. He's doing it with a different coach, not named Bill Belichick. Tom Brady was the system. He is the system. He is what makes the Buccaneers great, and he is what made the New England Patriots great for all that time. Now, Bill Belichick, obviously, greatest coach of all time, had something to do with it as well. But to say that Tom Brady was helped by Bill Belichick throughout his entire career, I feel like that is just obviously been debunked now. But I feel like if there is anyone that could pass Tom Brady as the GOAT in the future, it is the guy that he's going to be playing against next Sunday, Patrick Mahomes. So obviously this is going to be one for the ages, hopefully, one of the greatest stories in Super Bowl history right now. I feel like one of the greatest stories. You got the youngin, you got the old master, the great, and then you got the young great right now. I think it's going to be an awesome Super Bowl. Hopefully it will be, but that's going to be it for today. Thank you all so much for watching and or listening. Please make sure to like, follow, or subscribe wherever you may be listening. And also make sure to follow Ethan on social media at E on the mic. That is at E on the mic. I'll drop the link to his podcast in the description down below. And thanks again for coming on, Ethan. And thank you all for listening. And like always, make sure to stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Peace.